come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Got middle of the field. He's got Cruz. 35, 30.
Logan intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
Back here on Giants.com for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Joined by Jeff Fiegels, I am John Schmunk. It's all presented by DraftKings, 201-939-4513. That's the telephone number. We'll be taking your calls all show long. No guests today, folks. So it'll be you and us talking Giants football. And we kind of have a potpourri of things that we're going to discuss today, Jeff.
Potpourri.
Are you ready to go?
Yeah, throw it in the bowl.
All right. First, we're going to start, and hopefully it smells nice. But
it will.
Here we go. All right, we're going to start with what Ben McAdoo spoke about at the owner meetings yesterday. I thought there were some interesting things that he discussed, taking a look at the tweets of a lot of the reporters. Mike Leisen was out there. There's actually a 60-minute, you heard me right, 60-minute long video on Giants.com of Ben McAdoo sitting at a table, different people walking up, asking him stuff, and him answering it. So you can go check that out in its entirety. I have cherry-picked some things that I think are of some interest to some viewers, Jeff.
Okay.
All right, here we go. Start with this first. Ben McAdoo has decided to put together a small committee that'll meet on Fridays before games that'll discuss various potential late-game situations so they don't make the same type of errors they made in maybe some of the time management and things like that last year. It'll be with coaches, some captains, some players. I got to imagine Eli Manning's going to be in the meeting.
Of course.
Your thoughts?
Yeah. If they had done that a year before – that might have been a different story on those five or six games that those things happened.
You think it'll work, though? It's going to be effective.
No, absolutely, because I think any time that you start to talk about the situations like that and go over them, once they are starting to present themselves on the field, you realize, okay, you know what? We went over this 2 weeks ago or a month ago, whatever.
Does that slow things down for
you? Absolutely, absolutely. Because, you know, what really happens in those situations is like you said, things are going so fast. You know, the right decision is not always made. And
right.
I think that by having these discussions and watching tape and watching in situations, that will slow it down on game day. The guys can say, like, listen, like I said, we saw this a couple weeks ago. We talked about this. Call the timeout or, you know, get out of bounds, whatever the play is. It certainly can help. And I think that, you know, they're probably not the only team that does this. I don't know about the committee of players, but I know that you know, situations are all part of. We did them in special teams all the time. And you know what? To be honest with you, there are a lot of different situations that you don't know about on special teams that you go over because of
things like free kicks. Also,
yeah, how to
stuff.
Handle. You know,
yeah.
Exactly. And it's not so much for the veteran guys. It's a reminder for those guys. But the younger guys, different ball game than college and pro. So you gotta kind of in training camp, you go over those types of situations, and it's good to know. But believe it or not, John, they don't always work. Because I can't tell you how many times I've had in training camp where we've gone over it. If you are the first guy to go out of bounds, you can't touch the ball thing.
Guys do it.
Guys do it.
Or guys step in the end zone and then come back down the football
just
and it's a touchback.
It's the heat of the moment. They're in the game and they forget about everything.
And they
ruined
Jeff Fiegel's
and they
net
learned
punting.
They ruined it because it should have went down on the 4-yard line. Instead, he touched it and now it goes as a touchback.
Fiegel doesn't care about his gross. All he cares about is net. He wants his
net. I want my net.
All right, here we go. Number two, he talked about Olivier Vernon and all the free agents, but specifically Vernon. And this is a point, I think, Jeff, that we made when they made the signing a couple weeks back. It seems like it's been longer than that, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
That when they watched tape this year preparing for the Dolphins, he was one of the most disruptive players they saw on tape all year long in terms of getting after the quarterback. And I think it's an interesting thing that the Giants have done this in the past too. Like JT Thomas, when they drafted him, they mentioned how well he played against them when the Giants played the Jaguars. Now, Vernon, he didn't have a huge game against the Giants, but when preparing for the Dolphins, they studied him a lot.
Yeah.
And I remember that week, and I've said this on the show before, when you talk to the coaches that week, and I asked Ben McAdoo actually a question in his press conference that week about their defensive line, and I specified Ndamukong Suh, he's like, well, hold on a second. That guy off the edge is pretty darn good, too.
Sure, yeah. And I think that, you know, that goes for a lot of different players. And I will tell you this. It's kind of ironic you mentioned that. One of the reasons that I came to the Giants, and when I did, was because the year before, we had played the Giants when I was in Seattle. And, I mean, I had six inside the 20s that day, and the Giants won that game 9-6. But I really put on a show. And, you know, I remember Toomer was the returner telling me that that's the most unbelievable thing I've ever seen in my life, the way you kicked the ball that day. It was just like the balls were – and then, lo and behold, next year I'm with the Giants. So, you know, things like that can impact, obviously, in your mind, but on the field, if you do it on the field too, it did with these guys. Look what happened. They went out and got Vernon, and now he's part of the Giants, which is – we're happy to see.
All right, and regarding Eli Manning, he stressed he does not want Eli Manning to do anything to his throwing motion. He called it near perfect. And if you remember, last year he did make some tweaks, and that's gotten him to where he wants to be. Here's another couple quotes on Eli I'd like to get your take on, Jeff. This is Ben McAdoo now. I still think his best football is in front of him. I still think he's going to take another jump. He bought into the system, likes the controls he has. Having another year under his belt, I'm jumping around now a little bit, with the reads is going to clean things up for him. He knows what he likes now, and it's natural for him. He's not thinking as much as he was in his first year or even toward the early part of last year. It comes more naturally. This is one I thought was real interesting. Eli puts a lot of time and effort into making sure he's prepared and ready to go. We know that. He did some things last year that changed up his upper body routine. The way he trained his upper body, the way he warmed up his upper body, and the way he cooled it down. It made an impact. It was noticeable. I think that he finished last year stronger than he did at any point in time in 2014. That was encouraging. I'm sure he's out there right now working to get better.
Well, anytime in the National Football League you do something and you're successful with it, you will continue to do it. If it doesn't work, then you fix it. Obviously, the throwing motion, he worked on it. He fixed it. That's going to be good. He came up with some new routine that John just mentioned, and he'll continue to do that. One thing about Eli is that he's always trying to get better. He's the ultimate competitor, ultimate pro. We all know how good he is, but he's reaching for those stars. I mean, he really is. But I think that, you know, with Eli – I think that he's confident. He's making decisions that he didn't have to think about as much as he did in the past. My question is, are the other guys like that? The receivers, you're losing some guys here.
Randall, by the way, to the Eagles, another piece of news that broke yesterday.
Okay, so we'll get to see him a couple of times. Wonder how he'll play against them now or with them. But I feel like, you know, these are some of the questions coming into training camp this year that I want to see is how these other guys develop around Eli. Because when you look at that offense and you look at the receivers on paper right now, John, not a lot of depth.
All right, here we go. Now we talked about play calling. I'm not willing to disclose who will call the plays. It's a competitive advantage or disadvantage. It's my decision. It's a possibility I'll call plays. I love calling plays. That's all you're getting out of him. So it could be him. It could be Mike Sullivan. It could rotate. It could be a combination. We'll see.
Yep.
Not much more to say about that. That's the committee. In terms of what he expects to see out of Jason Pierre-Paul, thinks he's motivated, has a chip on his shoulder. I'm reading this off of his quotes right now. He's going to have an offseason and training camp under his belt. He'll be as disruptive as he was last year. As far as his hand goes, we know he's going to be disruptive. He's going to get used to playing with it. But he thinks he's going to have a good year. How effective he is grabbing with the hand is another question. We'll have to wait and see. But I think he has high hopes that JPP can be a good complement to Olivier Vernon on that defensive line.
Well, yeah, I think that, you know, you look at what he did last year, a lot of pressure. You know, unfortunately, he was trying to learn how to play with that injured hand. He had some surgery in the offseason to help with that. And, they obviously had said to him, listen, we're willing to pay you, you know, a lot of money to come in here and do something. And if you do, then you'll be a free agent again, and maybe you can go get some more money. So he does have a chip on his shoulder. And I feel like what he did last year was pretty remarkable. And I feel like the team respects him for that. I think the players respect him for that. And we're all looking for a huge year out of him. And really, when you think about JPP, a healthy JPP, going through training camp and all that, and then Vernon on the other side and Snacks in the middle – we got the defensive line. It shored up itself pretty quickly.
Throw Hankins in the mix, too.
Yes.
Giants running backs. This is his quote on the Giants running backs. Looks a lot at this point like we left it last year. Rashad Jennings took the bull by the horns, and that was great to see at the end of the year. Vereen was a good addition. Second on the team in receiving. Played about 40% of the snaps. That was encouraging. A lot of guys are giving up on Andre Williams. Don't give up on Andre. He's going into his third year. He'll continue to grow. No one is going to outwork him. And then Dark was a guy who was a natural runner. He's a good special teams player. He's a core guy. He's going to be in the mix as well.
So it sounds to me like the Giants are pretty content on who they have. I feel like they're going to get away from this rotation, which I think a lot of people will be happy about.
Well, Rashad Jennings seized the job last year. Hopefully he'll seize it again this year.
He's going to have to. Yeah. And, you know, we heard repeatedly, why is he on the rotation? Well, nobody stepped up and took that job. And I think at the end of the year, we all saw Rashad do that. But I think that, Andre Williams, no one's going to give up on him. He's a draft pick for the Giants. He can contribute on special teams. And by the way, you know, this is the National Football League, and sometimes things happen as far as injuries and all that kind of stuff goes. So the more able bodies you have and more talent that you have at some position, you hold on to them.
On the right side of the offensive line, something I know you're very tuned into.
I am.
This is Ben McAdoo. John Jerry is a battler now. He's going to go out there, he's going to give you what he has, and he's going to fight for you. We like John Jerry. Marshall Newhouse was a guy that we brought in for depth reasons. He stepped up when we had his opportunity, and he played well for us. We're glad to have Marshall back. He's a smart guy who's played a lot of football, and he has some flexibility. So it sounds to me he likes Marshall Newhouse as a swing tackle that can play both sides, which is why he was brought here and makes sense. He's just not a right tackle. He can play on the left side, and he can play inside as well. At one point in time in Green Bay, he had the ball in his hand a little bit, just learning to snap, so he does have some flexibility for a veteran, which is nice to have. I'm surprised there was no mention of Bobby Hart there.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean,
he likes John Jerry, though.
He had an hour.
And again, these are select quotes. Of course. You might have mentioned Bobby Hart another time. I just don't have it in front of me.
Yeah, I still think in just what I hear there is that they're confident in those guys, and they feel like if they have to be the guys, they're fine. But I still think that there's something here.
And I think Jerry's all right in pass protection, Jeff. I don't think he gives you enough as a mover in the run game.
No. That's why there's going to have something happen here. I mean, there really is. I just and most likely it's going to come from the draft, and maybe there's a cut somewhere down the line here from another team that the Giants pick up with offensive linemen. But I'm just not sold on that right side yet. I'm really not.
Now, finally, the last thing you talk about, Jeff, and there are other things too, but I find these to be the most interesting. Moving the touchback up to the 25-yard line if you now down the ball on a kickoff. I assume that's going to be that way on a punt that goes in the end zone too, right? It'll be at the 25, all touchbacks. So it would have to be, right? Oh, and free kick. So everything will go to the 25-yard line, including punts then, right? So thoughts on the rule, on trying to improve safety on these kickoff plays.
And first and foremost, that's what it's all about. They want safety. So I think that, I just don't get – I get the safety part of it. I just feel like now with this rule that special teams coaches are now going to say, okay – if we kick the ball into the end zone, they get it on the 25-yard line. Well, that's not so much of an advantage anymore for the kicking team. They're getting an extra 5 yards by kicking in the end zone. So I feel like they're going to go back to the kind of the mortar kick, guys, where you hit it down there in between the 10 and the 5-yard line. And I just feel like that's going to entice the other teams to have to return the ball now. So I think you'll see a little bit more of those plays, and it really, in my opinion, doesn't help safety at all. It's going to create more kickoff returns because you know what I'm saying, John? I mean, I feel like
I do.
And you would,
And Tom Coughlin loved using those mortar kicks when he thought it was appropriate, especially against very good returners.
And now you got an extra. Yeah. So it's no longer inside the 20. Now it's inside the 25. So if the guy even gets to the 23, you picked up a couple extra yards. But bottom line is it's all about safety. And there's been some mention about possibly trying to, turn the kickoff into some sort of a punt return, like where the guys match up quicker and there isn't the long running down the field. And then there's the collision is where the injuries come from, opposed to if you had something where the guys had to make contact within the first 15 yards of the play and then they chase them down the field, that would eliminate some of the contact injuries.
So. All right, we also have a new mock draft here, Jeff, by Todd McShay. And I have my opinion on the kickoff thing, too. If somebody
4-0.
Calls up, I'll give it. But we have a new Todd McShay mock draft. We also have a new Mel Kiper big board and McShay tiers. We have some calls on the line. So instead of doing that now, why don't we get to the callers? We'll see what they want to talk about. Correct that. That new rule on the touchback only applies to kickoff. So punts that go in the end zone will still go to the 20.
Okay.
Thank you, Dave. I wasn't sure about that. I hadn't read either way. I just heard touchbacks went to the 20. Thank you for clarifying that for me. I appreciate it. So that'll just be on kickoffs. The ball will go to the 25. Punts will still go to the 20, which I don't like because then you don't have a uniform touchback rule.
Yeah, well,
that, hopefully, that to me, I don't like.
Hopefully the referees get it right.
Absolutely. All right, so let's get to the calls. We could talk about the draft. We could talk about free agency. Anything Ben McAdoo spoke about, you name it, we can talk it. Fans, don't forget, Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want. With no season-long commitment, go to DraftKings.com, enter promo code CONTACT to play for free today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports, free to play. Abdul in Minneapolis, he's been holding the longest. Abdul, thanks for joining us. How's everything? Good to talk to you, pal.
Hey, guys. How you guys doing?
Doing great.
Good, good.
It's kind of a statement and a question.
Sure.
I don't understand this whole theory or this whole aspect of overpaying. Like, isn't, like, grown men being paid to play a game for millions of dollars being overpaid?
No, but
Abdul. Like, the whole idea of paying, getting paid to play football is being overpaid.
Right, but Abdul, the point is, are you getting the most out of your money? You know, you can spend $20 million on one player and get more production out of that player than you get for spending $20 million on another player. And the way you manage your salary cap is you want to get as much production out of every $1 million as possible. So, obviously, if you're paying a player that's, you know, let's say worth $10 million of production, but you're paying him $20 million, you're not using your salary cap as efficiently as you would if you're paying somebody else. I think that's the point people make by overpaying.
I get the whole return on your investment bit. I get it. But, you know, people are saying how Vernon's making more than J.J. Watt. Isn't that crazy? It's the market right now.
Right.
You know, it is what it is right now.
Right.
So we had to pay the young man $25 million or whatever it was, $85 million. So I get annoyed. Also, I also wish that there was more transparency in free agency.
How so?
People, you know, say that, you know, why aren't the Giants doing this and this and this? We have no idea. We have no idea who like the quarterback that just signed for the Colts.
Patrick Robinson.
Everyone's like, why didn't we go after that guy? We probably did. You know, but we have no – it looks like right now the Giants are sitting on their hands, but we have no idea what's going on. I'm not sure if it would be more of a PR move, but it would be kind of good to know who they're going after, what they are – after the fact. You know what I mean? Like, hey, we actually tried to go for this guy, and we offered him X amount of money, but he didn't decide. You know what I mean?
Well, I think the problem there, Abdul – for a front office, and I like to get the player perspective here from Jeff Fiegels. If you're a player, for example, and this is not necessarily referencing Patrick Robinson, who, by the way, you mentioned sometimes you want a player, you don't get him. Look at the Cowboys. They thought they had a deal done with the guy with the old agent. He changes agents, and then he leaves. So you can go after a guy. It doesn't necessarily mean that you always get him. The Giant fans that think the Giants are kind of sitting on their hands, like you said. And I think the problem you run into, Abdul and Jeff, if, let's say, for example, the Giants were trying to sign a running back,
okay?
Just randomly. Yeah. This is completely made up and hypothetical.
Sure.
And they fail. But it gets released out there that they offered, let's say they offered Alfred Morris 3 years, $15 million. Whatever.
Right.
I'm throwing it out there.
Right.
But they don't get him. That might end up annoying Rashad Jennings, who's on the roster. You don't get the player, but you end up annoying a guy on your team, and you get knocked around twice.
Yeah, and they turned out, So it's all about, it is. And I know that the player, that you guys want more transparency, but it's a business. We can't. They can't do that. They really can't. And it's a good point because, I got a guy in a team that now this guy is going to get paid this, or you don't want to have that circulating around. I think that they try to do the best they can. You know, really, there's some guys that sign sometimes down here in the building. We know about it, but we can't say anything about it, you know. So it's just you got to kind of keep it quiet, and that's just the way that they do business. And really, I think all teams are like that. Because you don't want to have any other teams wanting to know or hearing about what they're doing or how much they have offered.
Or, Abdul, for example, if that gets out there before you actually make the offers, then agents can sit there and say, well, hold on a second.
We got
this player
team.
Got
yeah.
an offer from this team. This player got an offer from this team. You got to pay us
leverage.
X. It opens a Pandora's box that I think has unintended consequences. I get what you're saying, but I do think there are some results from that would be negative.
And there is a lot more. There is a lot more transparency today than there was 5 years ago. You know that.
Fair enough.
Social media. Yeah.
I want one last statement.
Sure.
About Reuben Randall. I heard he was actually on his way down to Dallas to sign. But he took the wrong route and he ended up in Philly.
That's not bad.
That's good.
Thank you,
That's
Abdul.
Take care,
bud. That's not bad. That's not bad.
Yeah.
I was wondering where he was going with that. That's not bad.
Well,
Giant fans will get to see him twice more a year. I'm sure a lot of them are happy about that.
Yeah. Well, I never really understood, and I think that I'll put Hakeem Nicks in this category along with Reuben Randall, that – you know, when you're coming and you're playing for your contract year, that you go out and you have the years that they that both those guys did come going into free agency. I just never really understood it.
Well, Jeff, I'm not sure if it was a choice. I mean, look, I think Akeem Nicks was banged up. I think mentally he screwed himself up by getting into his head a little bit, and we've talked about that. But I just don't think his body had a lot left. And I think he tried. I just don't think he was good enough. And quite frankly, right. You know, and everyone keeps
maybe you're right.
And everyone keeps talking about all this potential for Reuben Randall, and I get it. He was a second round pick. Did you ever see that guy really separate from a cornerback?
Well, I've never saw him put like two or three games together in a row. I mean, it was like he would have this one game and we'd all be like, okay, that's the Reuben Randall we want. And then next thing you know, three games later.
Well, yeah, but here's the question then, Jeff. Did he put that one game on the board because he played better or because maybe he was playing against a bad corner or because the team played the Giants differently?
Well, I think if you go back and look at it, I think it's probably a little bit more of what you just said. To put the guys were not that good. He was going up against, in my opinion.
I mean, there's a reason that guys can't do that every game. Yeah. I mean, in the NBA, you play 82 games. Sure, a guy will throw up a 25 and 12 now and then, but the fact that he can't put up 25 and 12 every night
week.
Is what separates him from an all-star to a eighth man off the bench.
Well, you look at what Odell Beckham does every week, and then you look at what he did every week. It's just, well, that's their problem now.
Absolutely. Vic in Florida, he's up next. Vic, what's going on, pal?
Good afternoon, John and Jeff.
Thank you, Vic. How
Vic,
are you?
Long time no speak, my friend. Where you been?
I've been hurt, and I broke my hip bone.
Oh, I'm sorry, Vic. That's terrible.
And it's awful. Listen, I don't want to talk about rule changes and this and this and that. I want to talk about the whole team in
sure.
itself.
Go ahead.
When the hell are we going to spend a $26 million cap that we got left? We need an offensive lineman, and I think the right tackle, Newhouse, to me, I don't think he's worth anything. I don't care to have him on my team, okay?
All right.
Second, the running backs. I mean, Jennings, he's okay at times. I don't think he's the best runner that we in football. I mean, at best, he's average. So we need somebody there, okay?
All
and
right.
Also, on the receiving part of it, if Cruz comes back at least 95%, maybe our problems are solved. But we need to get another receiver. A Colston is available, even if you sign him for 1 year or somebody else. I'm interested to see what Reese is going to do with these players. Is he going to sign him? Or is he going to just hold on to until somebody else picks him up? Yeah, I'm a little teed off about that because they should have done something by now. They got a few bucks left in the cap. So what's going on, John or Jeff?
Well, look, Vic, I think the team is looking at guys. I mean, if you look at some of the reports out there, they're trying to bring guys in. But at the same time, you don't want to have to pay guys a lot more than what you think they're worth, especially when they're not upper-tier players like the guys they signed at the start of free agency. So I think there are still some guys out there on the offensive line. I'll go through the list. Obviously, a lot of the big guys are off the board. But there are still some guys around. And, you know, there's rumors that the Jets, when they finally figure out their quarterback situation, they might have to cut to Brickashaw Ferguson. You know,
right.
So there's stuff out there, and there are guys around that you might be able to consider. I do not believe – I'm trying to find his name on this list. I don't see it. Oh, no, he has signed. But I get it. I know what you're saying. The team has not fallen asleep. I can promise you that. They're still working hard at bringing in good players to try to make the team better. But I also think
okay.
that you have the draft coming to Vic in terms of an offensive lineman that you could add a player at that position. Would I have liked to see an offensive lineman added to the team the last 2 weeks? I think so. I think Jeff would probably say the same. But the Giants tried to do it. They just couldn't figure out something that made sense for them and the player, and they weren't able to meet and figure out a deal.
Yeah, and I believe that the draft is where they're going to go here. And then, you know, try to get some depth. One thing that I've noticed with the team as of late, you know, yeah, we're the free agency, they've gone out and they've filled a lot of holes with starters, but, you know, you're going to start seeing now where these kind of guys, these backup guys start getting signed now. Because, you know
right,
what, you're not doing
right.
anything about your depth as of right now. And that concerns me a little bit, and I think that that's probably where your free agency stuff, everybody's going to be kind of back in the building next week. You know, you had the owners' meeting, the guys were out of town. So
yeah.
look for it to pick up a little bit more next week. Whether they do or they don't, I don't know, but that's typically what will happen.
Okay, thank you, John.
All right, Vic.
I appreciate your show.
Hope you feel better.
Calling you again.
Great. Feel better, Vic, and best luck with that.
Yeah, I'm hurting right now.
All right, man. Get some rest. You too, Vic.
Have a good day.
Thank you, pal. Good day. We haven't heard from Vic in a while. It's a shame he broke his neck.
I vaguely remember Vic, but not to the point where I, you know, like our regular callers, but he must have been a regular caller back in the day.
A couple years ago, yeah.
Okay,
absolutely. Yeah. It's good to hear from Vic. 201-939-4513. A couple reminders, folks, before we get back to your calls at 201-939-4513. We're into the finals on the New York Giants Big Blue Bracket Challenge. Go to giants.com/bracket to vote. As was suspected, what was the final percentage, Dave, on Beckham and Gifford? Can you check that for me? The finals is Lawrence Taylor against Odell Beckham Jr. for the top number one draft pick in Giants history. So place your vote, and let's see who wins. Eli Manning lost to LT in the prior round after he had beaten Phil Sims. And Beckham knocked off Frank Gifford. It actually opened up a little bit. It was 55% to 45% for a while, but Beckham opened it up and won 59 to 41. And by the way, you know, I'm going to do it. I don't care. Giants fans, that's a bad job.
I know.
Bad job.
I
Odell Beckham should not be Frank Gifford. He's been in the league. Odell Beckham's a great player. You can argue he's the best wide receiver in the first 2 years of his career of all time. But here's the thing.
2 years.
2 years.
Yeah.
Frank Gifford's a freaking Hall of Famer, man. Come on. He's got a gold jacket. He made an All-Pro as a defensive player, changed to offense, and made All-Pro the next year. That's how good Frank Gifford was. He could run it. He could catch it. He could throw it.
He could do whatever you want.
Football.
And I hate to tell you that if Odell Beckham beats Lawrence Taylor in the finals, I don't want to be on with him next week.
He won't, though. He won't.
No.
Do we have any updated percentages on that, Dave? What do you have so far? How many votes in
percentage?
Give me. What do you got?
Just...
But Gifford should have beat Beckham. You agree with me on that, right? I'm not crazy. Gifford should have beat Beckham.
I had those were my two in the finals. Was the LT and Gifford.
LT and Gifford? That's what it should have been. And again, I'm a big Beckham guy. I know how good he is, folks, but come on.
2 years.
I know. I know the young Giant fans love the catches and everything. You would have loved Frank Gifford back when he played. Why you're giving all sorts of numbers here, Dave. I don't know what the heck's going on. What do you all right, right now, LT, and how many votes do we have so far? Do you have a vote tally, Dave? Right now, LT is beating Beckham 78%
to
22%. So Taylor is blowing out Beckham so far, already 1,700 votes. By the way, I got to say, fans, you're doing a great job voting this year. We're having, I think, about three times, Dave, as many votes this
82,000.
Year as we had last year.
Wow.
Totally, a total of 82,000 votes through the first three rounds. So you guys have done a great job voting for that. One other note, we do not have a show tomorrow. The office is closed for Good Friday, so enjoy your holiday weekend if you're celebrating. Otherwise, just enjoy having an extra day off for no reason. one other thing, if you want to keep track of free agency, go to giants.com. Is it free agency for the free agency for our free agent tracker and also our mock draft tracker at giants.com/mock draft to talk about that. And we do have a new mock draft from Todd McShay this morning. We'll get to a little bit later on in the program. Remember, fans, Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings. If you've never played on DraftKings, it's changing the way we play fantasy sports. Just pick your contest, pick your players, and if you win, pick up your cash. Simple as that. Go to DraftKings.com, enter promo code CONTACT to claim your free entry today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports, free to play. Justin in Florida has been holding. Justin, what's up?
What's going on?
How are you, Jay?
Justin?
I've been a diehard Giant my whole life. I lived in New York. I was born in Queens with my dad.
Nice.
And we moved to Minnesota. And then now I'm here in Florida. But I just have a couple questions regarding, like, wide receiver depth and the draft. Because I think that every team drafting this year, and the first I think the Giants can go, they could go more ways than any other team could.
Yeah, look, I agree. I'm with you, Justin. I think the Giants have a million options.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see what their philosophy is going back to what they've always done. Are they going to change it this year from a need perspective to a who's the best on the board? I'm curious to see what's going to happen there.
And I do agree with that, but I think that if they make certain decisions in free agency, it can cancel those out. So as like a Miles Jack who is projected to go 12th, his draft stock is absolutely rising up to Dallas at 4th. Both are going down, so I mean, we haven't drafted a linebacker since what? Like 15 years or something?
We haven't drafted a linebacker in the first round since Carl Banks in 1984. So you're looking at 30 years.
Exactly.
Yes.
So, I mean, and then people are thinking about reaching for Elliott. But I think if we don't add another veteran receiver, we don't know when Cruz is for sure going to come back. If you can get maybe an Arian Foster, someone at a cheap price, or maybe just even use Shane Vereen more. Because, I mean, when he was effective with at least 70% of the snaps in New England, he was effective.
Yeah.
And I know you don't want to upset Rashad Jennings because with the cap space we have him right now, there's just no point. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I don't know if reaching for Elliott would be good, but, I mean, maybe if you take Treadwell out of Ole Miss, the best wide receiver on the board, now you have two young wide receivers, you know, a world high, Larry Donnell. Now you just fix up the offensive line, and now I think we have a solid shot at the NFC East.
Hey, look, I think those are all options, Justin, and I appreciate the call. Thanks a lot. Unless you have something else for us. But let's head on now, and I think that's a good segue here. Let's take a look at the mock draft that came out today from Todd McShay, Jeff.
Right.
Real quick, and then I'll get back to your guys' calls. He had, and I'll rattle off the first 10 picks of his draft. I'll try to be a little dramatic here. The first pick, the Titans selected Laremy Tunsil. At number two, the Browns went for Carson Wentz, who the more I see and the more I read about, I would pick Carson Wentz as my franchise quarterback in a second. I think he's fantastic. He looked great as pro day today, too, by the way. Number three, Jalen Ramsey, defensive back out of Florida. And that really seems to be consolidating to me as the consensus top three in this draft.
Correct.
The Chargers seem to really want Ramsey. At four, they have the Cowboys needing pass rush help, taking Joey Bosa. I think they got to be pretty happy getting him, given he was considered the top player in this draft class for most of the year. They lost Greg Hardy, have injury issues. They could use him. No surprise, Miles Jack at five to the Jacksonville Jaguars. And then you have DeForest Buckner to the Ravens at six. And that's really that top tier of guys that we've talked about for much of this draft process. With Jared Goff not going to the Cowboys at four, he has him going to the 49ers at number seven. At number eight, he has the Eagles taking offensive tackle Ronnie Stanley out of Notre Dame, who could be a guy they can team with Lane Johnson, perhaps replace Jason Peters down the road. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers at nine. I think Giant fans won't be happy about this. They have them taking Vernon Hargreaves, the cornerback out of Florida, who would be a nice addition for the Giants. And then Mr. McShay has the Giants taking Shaq Lawson at number 10. And just to give you a feel here, to mention some of the guys he talked about, he has Jack Conklin, who's an offensive tackle for Michigan State, going at 11. Who could be an option for the Giants. Most people think he'll be a right tackle in the pros, not a left guy, which is fine. He got Flowers out there. Sheldon Rankins at 12, a pass-rushing defensive tackle. Another thing the Giants certainly could be in the market for and use.
Seems like it.
Ezekiel Elliott, number 13 to the Dolphins. That's as far as I've seen him drop in a lot of these mock drafts, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Reggie Ragland at 14, a linebacker that a lot of people like, could be your Mike linebacker for a long time. And then Laquan Treadwell at 15, another player that has been linked to the Giants as a wide receiver, considered the best wideout on the board, and he's there at 15, and Taylor Decker, another offensive tackle, at 16. So, as you can see, at 10, and these are all names that have been mentioned if you go to the Giants mock draft tracker on Giants.com that have been mocked to the Giants at that 10 spot, Jeff.
A lot of them.
They're going to have a lot of different options. Treadwell, Conklin, Elliott potentially, Hargreaves potentially, Shaq Lawson.
Stance, the offensive tackle for his
Ronnie Stanley.
Stanley,
if
I
he's
mean,
there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, and it's crazy. None of these obviously are going to be exactly right, but it's crazy what can happen. Guys, you know, teams trading up, trading down. Everybody's silent about this stuff right now. Nobody knows, you know.
And then at 40, he did a two-round mock draft. So he had safety going to the Giants in round two, Carl Joseph, who, from what I understand, most people consider him the second-best safety in this draft class after Jalen Ramsey, if you consider Ramsey a safety, at number 40. So those are the guys that they have right now for the Giants and Tom McShay's latest mock draft if you're interested.
No, they go all the way to the second round.
Yeah, it goes into the second round. So people are starting to get even more creative, so they have less chance of being right going all the way into round number two. So we could talk about that as well. Let's go to Richard in British Columbia. He's joining us next on Giants.com. Richard, how are you?
Good, guys.
What's
thanks
up?
For having me on.
Hey, thanks for calling.
Yeah, first of all, I want to agree with you, John, 100%. I've been a Giant fan since the 50s. Frank Gifford was an amazing player. I think some people kind of dismissed him because he was a pretty boy, but, man, I saw him at Yankee Stadium 1961 when he laid out and caught a pass from Y.A. Tittle to beat the Steelers and put the Giants into the playoffs that year. It was he was an amazing player. And, Jeff, thanks, man. You were one of the best punters
in
Giant history. I really appreciated your directional clutch punting, man.
I appreciate that very much.
So my question was kind of asked before, was something about the right tackles. Why wouldn't the Giants consider giving up a second-round draft choice for a proven close-to-all-pro right tackle that Atlanta has in Ryan Schrader instead of drafting, possibly being forced to draft a tackle high, and you never know what you're going to get? Schrader is a proven pro. Why wouldn't they give up a second-round draft pick for him?
Are the Falcons shopping him?
I was going to say, how do we know that he's available?
Well, because he's a restricted free agent. So he is available. It's just the fact that he was tendered with a second-round pick.
Gotcha. Okay. If you said to me that's what you want to do, then I'll go for it because I think that we do need a right tackle and a guy that's you know, and he's better than, in my opinion, who the Giants have now. How much is he? What's his second round draft pick? Although I don't know, that's the hard one.
Yeah, basically he's tendered, so you could sign him to a contract. I think the Falcons might have a chance to match. I have to check the details on it. But then if they don't match, the Giants will have to give him a second round draft pick if they sign him.
Yeah. I just think that you have an opinion. Your opinion, and I believe in it, but also the other side of the coin is that guys, the teams are not going to give up a second-round draft pick for really a guy that isn't that proven. I mean, has he been to a Pro Bowl? Is he that type of a player? I don't know.
Well, finish up, Richard.
I think he was the second-rated top free agent
last year. Okay.
So, anyway, and what's your guys' opinion on bringing in Anquan Boldin? I think he'd be the great addition for a year or two on this team. You know, the guy is so tough, and the way Eli fires the ball in there, man, he'd be a great addition to go with Cruz and Odell.
Thanks a lot for the call, Richard. We appreciate it. Look, I'm okay with Boldin, to be honest with
you. I'm okay with him for 1 year, and I think that that's probably what he'll get wherever he goes.
Here's the trick, though. I read this, that Boldin is specifically looking for a team where he can compete for a Super Bowl championship right away.
Well,
I mean, he has a Super Bowl quarterback here in Eli Manning, but I'm not sure that if you're looking for a team that you think is going to be a Super Bowl contender, the Giants have a chance, sure, but I don't think they're on the top of that list necessarily.
So how many of those teams actually need a number two or three receiver?
That's a great question. I mean, you can go through it. The Broncos clearly are stacked at wide receiver. They don't need anybody. You know where I can see it being a great fit?
Philly.
New England.
Well, Patriots, yeah. Absolutely. When you were like this, I'm thinking, are you on the turnpike?
No, this is me agreeing with you. Yeah. Couldn't you see Anquan Boldin show up in New England
sure.
and teamed up with Tom Brady for a year or two?
And this is breaking news. I just got in if you want to announce it.
How about the Seahawks, by the way? The Seahawks could use him. Here we go. Oh, boy. Breaking news on NFL Mobile. Albert Breer reporting. Robert Griffin III to sign with the Cleveland Browns. Oh, baby.
And the hits just keep on coming.
Well, I would imagine they're still going to pick a quarterback at number two. Or at least, well, you know what? It is the Browns. So maybe not. But I would assume the Browns, and for the Giants' sake, we all hope that they do, will select a quarterback at number two. You don't think they're just handing the keys to the car.
This just in, a new bracket out in Cleveland puts RG3 in at the number 15 seed.
I mean, honestly, I think they'll still go quarterback in the first round, though. They kind of have to, don't they?
I don't know. Hugh Jackson, he does have quite a bit of a history with quarterbacks. So maybe they see something in RG3 that he could change around. But, wow, I don't know. It's just it's amazing to me how some of these organizations work, John. It really is. I mean, we work for one of the best organizations in the world to see how they do things here. And then you kind of – and I played for five organizations myself, but you just see the way that they do things. It just never makes sense sometimes.
I mean, I don't mind – I mean, look, if you're the Browns, you've been looking for a quarterback since Bernie Kosar. I mean, literally, you've been looking for a quarterback since yeah. Bernie Kosar. I'm not even being sarcastic. They have been.
And they have drafted one.
Sure. Go back to Tim Couch.
But can it just get so bad all the time?
Well, what you do – look, I applaud them for throwing as much stuff against the wall as possible. Now, if they're – going to draft the quarterback in the first round and have him compete with RG3, I'm cool with that. That's fine. But you can't hand that kid the keys to the car.
No way.
And I don't think that's what they're going to do.
No.
But we'll see. Maybe they are. It is the Browns. 201-939-4513. By the way, Schrader was tendered as a restricted free agent.
Okay.
He only allowed two sacks last season, wow. which ranked inside the top 10 among offensive tackles. Started all 15 games. I mean, he's good. He's really good. I mean, he's a player. I mean, they give him a number two, though. I mean, it's the 10th pick. It's the 40th pick in this year's draft.
I don't think that.
And then you got to pay him on top of that. That's the trick. You got to give him the big contract, and then you got to give up the pick. I'm never in favor of doing that.
But guess what?
I don't like that.
But guess what? The Falcons. They still can come back and keep him.
And the Falcons would probably.
They would. I mean, he's good, like yeah, you said. I mean, I'm sorry. I know. I don't know. We don't know every player inside and out in the NFL.
No,
I mean, a lot of them. But this guy seems to be pretty darn good. So why would the Falcons ever want to get rid of this guy? But, you know, I like the way you're thinking, though. I like that right tackle and that right side. We got to shore up that offensive line over there.
And, Richard, sorry we had to let you go, but your phone was real noisy while you're on the line there. And I applaud his creativity because I think when you have cap space, that's the type of thing you can do is explore creative ways to use it to try to make your team better. And that's even is going after restricted guys. I mean, Olivier Vernon, for example, I don't know if the Giants were going to approach him if he was
because he
still
was
transitioned
be,
or not, but I imagine they would have. And if they're willing to give a guy – you know,
that would have been a first
X
round
dollars
pick,
guaranteed.
Right?
No, they would have. Dolphins had a chance to match, and they would just have gotten him.
Gotcha.
If he was franchised,
oh, he was transitioned.
Correct.
Okay, yeah.
If he was franchised, that's a different story. So there you go. All right, back to the phones. 201-939-4513. Line four, Dominic Christian in Springfield, Massachusetts. I'm not mentally prepared for Charlie yet. I'll get to him next. Christian, what's going on?
How you guys doing?
Doing well, Christian. What's up?
I just wanted to get your opinion on the upcoming draft. So let's say the Giants, you know, address like the right guard spot. They don't address running back. They don't address receiver. And they obviously probably have Vernon, JPP, Wynn, and Owe. So they're probably not going to address that position. If you're Jerry Reese, what would you do if Stanley, Ezekiel Elliott, Lawson, and Treadwell are available? Who do you think you would take if you were in Jerry Reese's position? And the second question I have is, how do you guys think Will Tye's going to do in his second year with us? To be honest, I thought he did great last year, and I think he's going to obviously take some bigger strides.
Well, I'll start with Will Tye first. I think, and I'd like to get Jeff's take as well, because I want to think about your draft question, because I think it's a tough one, and it's one I'm still wrestling with now.
Yeah.
I think Will Tye will get better, but Jeff, I also think Will Tye's limited. I mean, Will Tye doesn't have Jimmy Graham athleticism. He's not going to be the guy that's going to stretch the field like that. I mean, I do think they're – is a limit of how good Will Tye is going to get, but I do think he's going to improve in year number two.
Well, and I do too. I thought he improved every game going forward last year, and I think that's great for him coming into the off season. And he's got, you know, he got a lot more playing time than he ever thought
he's
got
to block better too.
And all those tight ends have to block better. But yeah, I see him as a guy that is going to be a consistent player for you, but not one of those superstars. And like John, it's going to be said, it's kind of, you know, really press anybody over the top with that down the field speed.
All right. Now, in terms of your draft question, I think it's interesting.
That's a tough one. I know where I'm going.
All right. You go first.
And I think you already know where I'm
going. You're going right tackle?
I am going right tackle. I feel like, you know, and don't be surprised. And that's my pick, by the way, is the right tackle. So whoever is there sitting at one, that kid from Michigan State, the guy from Notre Dame, whoever is there, I'm taking him. Okay. Because of what the Giants did in free agency, addressing the defensive line position. But as we know, there's never enough defensive linemen on your football team. So don't be surprised if that defensive end or defensive tackle position is called upon in that first round again.
All right, Christian, here's what I'm going to do. Firstly, I'm going to reserve the right to change my mind because I don't have my final board ready yet.
What do you mean?
That's number one. This is not my final answer. This is not who wants to be a millionaire.
Okay, all right.
At the current moment, this is my train of thought. I would move I think Ezekiel Elliott might actually be the most talented guy, but I'm going to move him aside because I think you can find running backs, and I think the Giants already have a great third down back in Shane Vereen that I don't want to take off the field, and that's going to naturally limit the amount of snaps Ezekiel Elliott's going to have because you're going to want to use Shane Vereen. So I'm going to push him aside.
Okay. Good, I would too.
I'm going to disagree with Jeff, and I'm going to push aside the right tackle, and here's why. Three out of the last 4 years, you've used a first-round pick and an offensive lineman. And I believe you have your left tackle of the future, according to Jerry Reese and Ben McAdoo, in Ereck Flowers. I don't know if you get enough value, and you're picking 10th overall now. Are you picking your starting right tackle 10th overall? I don't know if I'm buying that. I'm going to push the right tackle aside, all right? So now I'm down to Shaq Lawson. I'm going to throw Rankins into the mix. Is Vernon Hargreaves on the board for me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would make a lot of sense
right,
to me, too.
All right, he's there, too. All right, so here's what I'm going to do. I've narrowed it down to Treadwell, Vernon Hargreaves, and then either Rankins or Lawson. I'm going to – I don't think Rankins and Lawson are stars. I think they'll be good players. I don't think that they're great players. I think they'll both be solid. They'll contribute. But I don't think they're going to be stars. So I'm going to push those guys away. Now – I'm down to Treadwell. I'm down to Hargreaves. I believe that Treadwell is a good receiver. I also don't believe he's a great receiver. I'd like to see what he runs on his 40 when Ole Miss has his pro day. The fact he didn't run the 40 at the combine makes me hesitate a little bit because I'm sure that means he didn't like the time he was running when he was working out for the combine. I think he's got size. I think he can, you know, make contested catches. But I want guys that can separate. That, to me, is what's important. So I think if all those guys were available, I think my pick would be Hargreaves because I think he is the best corner in the draft. He can cover. He can play the slot, which the Giants will need this year. And I think overall, besides Elliott, he's probably the best player on the board at that spot. So I'll go Vernon Hargreaves.
Thanks for taking my call, guys. Go Giants.
Thanks, Christian.
Thank you, Christian.
Do you understand my thinking there, Jeff?
Somewhat.
You disagree with it, obviously.
I agree with a lot of it. But, no, and again – you know, these things change.
No, it's hard.
I'm just trying to stay with my philosophy of shoring up that offensive line. I feel like, you know, there are receivers that can be taken in the draft, and maybe an Anquan Boldin, the free agent that can – and we never know about Victor Cruz if he comes back healthy. But I still think that this offensive line needs to be addressed.
No, that's fair. I don't disagree with that.
You know, so
how about a second round?
I mean, let me ask you a question. Would it surprise? I mean, would you be like so blown away that if it did happen that they took an offensive line, would you be like, you got to be kidding me? Another offensive lineman?
Here's the thing. At 10, I remember when the Giants picked last year, and we'll hear from Jerry Reese about a week or so before the draft this year, 2 weeks. He talked about when you pick that high, you want to get a player at a premium position, and you want to get a premium player.
Okay, well, they got one a couple years ago.
And from what I've seen, from the way Jerry Reese has drafted in the past, all right, especially when you're picking high in the first round, who does he consider to be
a premium?
What does he perceive to be a premium position? I think he perceives defensive end, pass rusher, as a premium position. I think he perceives cornerback to be a premium position in this league. Look at how he spent in free agency on a corner and pass rushers. So I don't think there's any doubt those two are premium positions. I think he believes wide receiver
no question
is a premium position based on how he's drafted in the past. I think he believes left tackle is a premium position.
Yeah, because he's Beattie and Flowers.
I'm not sure he thinks right tackle is a premium position. Mm. Look, and it's important. I'm not saying
I see your philosophy.
But I think if you want to get a great player attended a premium position, I think that's why a guy like Treadwell or Hargreaves is a more likely pick simply based on what the Giants have done in the past.
It's definitely a more sexy pick.
Yes.
But I'm going with longevity. I'm going with something, a need.
And I get that. I wouldn't be upset if they picked the right tackle.
Right.
But I think there's a better chance you get a right tackle or right guard on day two.
And, you know, unfortunately, I don't think this would happen in the first round, but unfortunately, this is not a very deep draft when it comes to tight ends because I feel like that's another position I feel like that Eli Manning and that offense could use that type of, you know, the type of tight end we're talking about, a guy that can stretch the field, six, you know, and a very athletic. I just love Eli Manning having that type of guy to go to along with Odell Beckham and maybe whoever the other receiver is going
to
be.
And again, you asking me to predict who the Giants will pick might be a different answer of who I would pick if I was making a selection. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what mock drafts, you're supposed to predict what you think the team's going to do.
The team is going to do, right. Not what you wanted to do.
Yes, and I'm not sure what I would want to do yet. Yeah. I honestly still need more information. There's a reason they still have more than a month till the draft. I'm not putting my final, you know, pick on the board now. That's no fun.
Well, and I guess I'm shooting from the hip here as what I would do.
Of
not
course.
So much the team
Correct.
Would do.
And that's why you're here. You're here to give your opinion.
I feel like that's just something I would do, and I put a lot of credence in that because I feel like the offensive line, you know, it's on both sides of the football, it starts there. And I really believe that the Giants did themselves a favor, you know, going after and doing what they did on the defensive line. Now I feel like they need to kind of mirror that and shore up what's on the offensive line and then move out from there.
And, Jeff, that makes perfect sense. Not going to argue with that at all. Let's go to Brian in Queens. He's up next. Brian, what's happening, pal?
Hi, Brian.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Nothing much, Brian. How are you?
I'm pretty good. Hey, so like, I want to talk about, like, you know what worries me? Like, I don't like the fact that the Eagles moved up to the eighth pick, you know, two slots in front of us. I think they're up to something, and they want to take Ezekiel Elliott off our hands, you know, because I think they worry that Elliott's going to come in to the Giants and be a force for years to come and to, like, no, they rather see, you know, him run on us than, you know.
It would not surprise me if the Eagles picked Ezekiel Elliott at 8, given they traded DeMarco Murray in the offseason. Now, they have Ryan Matthews still, and they still have Darren Sproles. So it's not like they don't have two effective running backs in their stable already. Would it shock me if they picked Ezekiel Elliott there? It would not.
That's true. But, hey, so I think our defensive line is like have become a strength now. So, like, before, like, I wasn't too fond of taking Shaq Lawson, but then, like, as of late, if we were to take him, you know, like, just to strengthen what we have, what's already strong already, like, for years to come, our D-line could be what gave us the championships, you know? Could you agree on that or not?
I mean, I think Shaq Lawson, look, and I do think you need more rushers. And as Jeff knows, they like to rotate guys. So you want to have another defensive end that you can bring in. Maybe you move JPP inside. Maybe you move Shaq Lawson to the three technique in passing situations. Or, frankly, maybe you don't like Shaq Lawson. Maybe they like Kevin Dodd, his teammate, at Clemson Moore. Maybe they think he's a better pass rusher. I don't know what they're thinking upstairs right now. They don't have their board ready yet. So, Jeff, I would not have an issue with another defensive lineman or a pass rusher there either.
No, and I think you got to, you know, and also you're betting on that Owe is going to come back and play. We haven't really seen this kid play much. We don't know what he could do.
Yep.
And he's, you know, he's a tall, skinny dude. He's got to put some, you know, but
tall, skinny dude.
for a defensive lineman, he's not that big of a guy. You know what I'm saying? So I think that you know, there's one guy that we can kind of throw in a mix. As you know, I know he's not going to be a rookie, but I mean, we haven't seen him play. But there's a guy that I think a lot of people are counting on, too. And anytime you can add another one of those guys, I kind of look at Shaq Lawson as being he's 6'4", 260. So he's, you know, he's tall. He's not a big guy from that perspective. But, man, he can get after the passer, and that's certainly what that defense needs. We know that.
Can I ask one last thing? I want to see what you guys think about, like, because I really like Vernon Hargreaves at 10. If we get him at 10, I think that's a good steal. Like, I liked how you narrowed it down earlier to, like, Laquan Treadwell, you said Rankins and a few others, but if Vernon Hargreaves was to come to the Giants, I think it'd be smart to just ask him, see how he feels, because I know he's probably going to come in and be our slot corner, but to see what he feels about playing free safety, maybe, you know? You think that's any chance that he'd take that into consideration if they were to ask him to play free safety, or he's just like a corner guy?
The last thing I want to do is draft a player at 10, bring him in, and tell him to change positions.
No way. No.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a tough one. You know, usually that change comes like when they find out that you can't play what we thought you could. And that's not your first-round draft pick, my man.
Absolutely.
You know, so.
Yeah, you guys are right.
Thank you, Bry.
I mean, you look at I just forgot his
Mark
name.
Barron, the safety for the Rams that moved the linebacker,
or vice versa. The what's his name that went to Philly?
Walter Thurman.
Walter Thurman. It goes from
corner to safety.
Yeah. So I think and you know what? It worked out for him.
Yeah.
He actually did pretty well at that. So.
By the way, and here's another interesting nugget, and we'll get to Charlie. He'll wrap us up in a second. By the way, fans, don't forget, Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com, enter promo code CONTACT to play for free today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports free to play. McShay put up his tiers, too, today, and he basically puts players into tiers. Tier 1, he labels as the elite class of prospects. They should be starters from day one and project as perennial Pro Bowl players. He has three players in this class: Joey Bosa, Laremy Tunsil, and DeForest Buckner.
Oh.
He has in tier number one. I'm surprised he does not have Miles Jack and Jalen Ramsey in tier one. I thought he would, but he does not. Tier number two. He labels this class a notch below the elite first class, but still worthy of a top 20 pick in most drafts, expected to be plug-and-play starters.
All right.
Jalen Ramsey, no surprise. Ezekiel Elliott, no surprise. Ronnie Stanley, no surprise. Vernon Hargraves, no surprise. Miles Jack, no surprise. Carson Wentz and Jared Goff. So, theoretically, if the top 10 players in McShay's top two tiers, and those are the only guys he has in his top two tiers, there's 10 of them. So one of them has to be there when the Giants pick at 10.
And which
now,
one will
what
it
you
be?
Hope, it's not one of the quarterbacks. You
well,
hope
no,
that
not
the two quarterbacks go in the top 10 to either Dallas, Cleveland,
they'll be gone.
Or San Francisco.
Yeah, they'll be gone.
So if that's the case, you're getting either Jack, Hargreaves, Stanley, Elliott, Ramsey, or maybe one of the top three guys.
Is Treadwell in there, too?
No, he is Treadwell in tier number three.
Okay.
And again, I would be great with, I think, like I said, I think Hargreaves and Elliott might be the two most talented guys that are left when the Giants pick. I don't think Buckner is going to go as high as he believes, because he's a 3-4 D end, and I'm not sure people think he can play that 3 technique.
Where does he have Leonard Floyd in?
Top of tier three, he has Conklin, your guy.
Okay, yeah.
And these are carry late first-round grades. Conklin, Ragland, Treadwell, Darren Lee. Those are his top four guys in tier number two, players that I all like. Rankins is 16, Shaq Lawson 17, Leonard Floyd he has is the 20th ranked player.
Don't sleep on that guy.
He's a tweener, though. He's one of those 3-4 pass rushers.
I know. He is a 3. Well, yeah. He's a 3-4, so I mean.
But do you like him as a 4-3 strong side linebacker?
I do. I do.
And maybe put his hand in the dirt on third down?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. All right.
I do.
All right, and there you go. And by the way, Kuiper also put his big board up.
A big board.
I'll give you – this is basically not ranking it by team just based on talent. I'll give you his top 10 just for fun before we get to Charlie. Making him wait. It's kind of fun. Laremy Tunsil, Jalen Ramsey, Joey Bosa,
all right.
DeForest Buckner, no surprises so far.
No,
Miles Jack, Jared Goff, Ronnie Stanley, no surprises so far. Carson Wentz, Vernon Hargraves, Ezekiel Elliott, no surprises so far. And then you get to the next group. And then he has the same 10 as McShay and the same 10 as a lot of other guys have, too. Then you have Conklin, Treadwell, Ragland, Rankins, Spence.
But now it's a matter of any of these guys move up and any of those guys come down, and that's where I'm talking about maybe they snag up one of those offensive tackles.
That's possible. Or if they think, you know, if Hargreaves falls, great. If Elliott falls, you know, if you want to go running back, I see that. I think he's super talented. But, again, we're seeing a consolidation here where the opinions are starting to come together a little bit of who's going to be
and
there.
And now it's
10.
Just a matter of, you know, maybe one or two spots move up and down a little bit with those players.
And I think last year at 11, there was more of a question. I think you didn't know who was quite going to be there. I think
this year it's a lot more.
I think there's a lot of consensus of who's going to be off the board in the top 7 or 8.
And I've actually heard lately that Miles Jack has been dropping a little bit in some of the.
I don't buy it.
I mean, if he's sitting there.
Oh, you better give your card in and sprint before somebody changes their damn mind.
Then it would be after 30 years.
And then Charlie will finally have his linebacker, right, Charlie, in Portland, Maine?
But Charlie wants to talk about free agency as we just were talking about the draft.
He can do it every night. It's all good. What's up, Chuck?
Yeah.
Hi, Charlie.
Yeah. Hey, John, that was an understatement. You had an understatement when you said JR does not value right tackles. Charlie Brown and Robert Newhouse. That's all you had to say. He doesn't. So
remember though, Charlie, he did draft Justin Pugh in the first round, and they played him at right tackle in year one.
Right.
So he did value him enough to pick him there
in
the late first round.
But he drafted him as a tackle. What is he playing now?
Fair enough.
He's playing a guard.
He may be playing tackle
as your number one pick in a draft.
He may be playing right tackle.
That was a reach. That was a reach. He's a great player. Pugh's good, but he was not a tackle. But let me go into Schrader.
Yeah, go ahead.
If we're really thinking of picking an offensive lineman in the first or second round who is a rookie and you don't really know, he's going to have growing pains just like Flowers did, why not take Schrader and give up a 2, especially if you're thinking of taking one in round one, and
Charlie,
give up your second round and get a guy who's 26, who's played in this league and has played really well, and all this guy has upside.
Because you got
to
pay him, Charlie.
It's a no-brainer
to go and
get this guy.
But, Charlie, you got to pay him. And then Justin Pugh becomes a free agent in a year. Rich Burns a free agent in 2 years.
We have $24 million.
Yeah, I
we
know,
got
but
$6 million for the draft. You know, for the draft guys, we still have enough money to have a right tackle and an offensive line that we can keep together for a long.
No, Charlie, you're right. You're going to have enough money this year. I'm not debating that. But are you going to have enough money in 2 years to keep all these guys?
Yeah, you should. You should have enough money. The cap keeps going up, and if you take care of your finances properly, which is why Mayhew was brought in, then they should be able to do
that.
Remember,
you're going to have. But remember, you're going to have to give Pugh a big raise. You're eventually going to have to give Richburger a raise. You're going to have to give Beckham a phenomenal raise. I mean, there are guys here. JPP is going to be up again after this year. The guys' cap numbers that they signed this year are going to go up. The Vernons, the Jenkins, and the Harrisons. So I'm just saying, it's not just about the money this year. You have to plan into the future. I don't know what those books look like, but that is something you have to take in consideration when you worry about putting another big contract on the books. That's all
right.
I'm saying.
No, I understand that. But
and you also have to think about, Charlie, too, is are they going to give him? Are they going to let him go?
Are the Falcons going to match, right?
Yeah. So.
Well, I mean, if you give them a good offer, then Atlanta probably won't match it. But I think you should at least, if you're really thinking of getting an old lineman in the first or second round, then you should really try to go after this guy. To me, it makes total sense. And that would shore up the line, and then you could go into the first round. The thing is, Jerry's going to go for the high-impact player. You know, he got emboldened after he picked ODB, and, you know, Flowers was a little reach, I think. But he went for a left tackle. So now he's going to go for a playmaker. So he's going to go for that cornerback if he's there. He's going to go for that D-end if he's there. And he's going to go for not a linebacker. For God's sakes, you'll never do that.
A punter?
But he'll go out a wide receiver. So he's going to go for an impact player. But to me, if you're going to go O-line, then go after Schrader. It makes so much sense to do that. And we still need the veteran safety. I mean, if we don't give Spags his quarterback for the safety position for his D, it's going to be a travesty because we saw what happened last year, and I just think that is so, so important. And what else have I got here?
Let me ask you a question, Charlie, before
you go
on to the next
one.
Who are you drafting? Who's your own number one guy?
I'm moving up.
Oh, you're moving up.
Don't start.
You're moving up.
Oh, I'm moving up.
Wait, no, but Charlie, if you want to give up a two to get Schrader, how are you moving up? You got nothing left to trade.
No, if I get Schrader, right? What I'm going to do is this, John.
You're going to trade next year's one?
We're going to trade our ones, and I'm going to give them next year's two.
They're not going to do that. It depends how much you want to move up. How many picks you want to move up, Charlie?
Well, I don't know. Jack is right now falling to Jacksonville, so that's at number five. He might fall to six, so you're going up four spaces. I think a team would take a number two next year for Jack. And the thing is, on all those big boards and you know, all those nobody's got Jalen Smith up, you know, high. And I would definitely move up in the lower first round. If I don't go up and get Jack, I would definitely move up to pick him because this dude is a number one pick.
Move back,
he might not. Smith, Jalen Smith.
No. You said you would move up. You would move back to pick him, and you'd pick up extra picks, you're saying.
Well, I think he's going to go in either the bottom of the first round or the top of the second. So
I think that's about right.
Yeah, our second round, we might have to move up
to
get him.
But you're not going to have a second round pick because you signed Schrader.
No, but I have other picks. I have other picks that I can move up.
Like if you don't have your second round pick, Charlie, you can't get back into that early second round, late first round unless you trade in next year's one.
You give them a second round next year. The Browns, look, are going to be rebuilding for the next 100 years, so they would take a second next year, and you give them a third this year, and you move up and you take Jalen Smith. So I would have Schrader, I'd have Jalen Smith, and we'd be good at right tackle. We'd be good at linebacker for the next 20 years.
No, but Charlie, hold on.
LT,
Charlie, you just traded your second round pick next year twice. Once to move up to get Jack, and then once to move up to get Smith.
Well, I said if we don't get
I
would go
I got
for Jalen.
Yeah,
I got you.
I got you.
But if we can get Jack, I would give him next year's two, no problem. Because you got to remember, next year we should be picking 25th or 26th because we should be able to get in the playoffs this year. So our pick is going to be so much lower than it is right now.
Charlie,
confidence. So I wouldn't Yeah, I wouldn't mind giving up a pick for next year. But anyway, I think we have to be bold. We have to. We can't just sit at 10 and just wait for someone to fall in our lap. Because Jerry's going to either reach or he's going to go back. Because he's not going to get the guy that we really want at 10. Because all the better players are going to be gone.
Yeah, see, Charlie, I don't know if they are. I think at 10, you have a pretty good chance of getting a really good player. You know, I'm just going to go through them real quick. I know we're past 1 o'clock. I apologize. Dave, my buddy, wants to get to lunch. So do we. But real quick, I want to go through my top 10 with you,
sure.
All right? And these are the guys that I think are going to be my top 10 picks. I got to write them down to make sure I don't miss anybody, all right? I think it's going to be Tunsil, okay? Let's assume both quarterbacks go in the top 10, all right? Wentz and Goff, all right? So that's 3. I think Ramsey's going to be off the board. I think Bosa's going to be off the board. I think Miles Jack is going to be off the board, okay?
That's why we need to go up.
Fine. That's 6. My guess is that DeForest Buckner is going to be off the board, okay?
Elliot.
Mm-hmm.
So that's 7. And this is when I think, to me, that's your, I'm not going to say sure thing top 7, but I think there's a really good chance that that's going to be the top 7 guys off the board. I would be more than fine if a guy like Ezekiel Elliott falls to the Giants. I'd be more than fine.
We won't pick a running back, though. That's the problem.
I'm just telling you from my perspective. Elliott's one of the most talented kids in the draft. I think Vernon Hargreaves is one of the most talented kids in the draft. I'd be fine picking him at 10. And then I don't know about picking the right tackle at 10. I said that before. But would you be really upset if they picked Laquon Treadwell at number 10?
I don't think he's a 10. I just don't think he's a top. I think he's a low. I mean, he's only had one great year. You know, he came out last year, and he had one great year. I just don't think he's got enough proven to me that this guy's going to be a great wide receiver. He might be another Reuben Randle. And speaking of Reuben Randle, he will be a Pro Bowl wide receiver just in 2 games. The 2 games he plays against us, and he'll fall asleep the other 14.
There's the negativity that I like to hear from Charlie.
You just watch.
Thank you, Charlie. We got to run, pal.
Okay, guys.
Thank you,
great
man.
Weekend.
Yeah, you too. Have a good holiday.
He saved that to the last.
He saved it to the end.
He did.
He's like, I'm going to be all happy and positive.
And then,
bam.
Going to throw a Reuben Randle on you.
All right, everybody. Just to remind you, Giants.com/bracket. Vote in the finals of the Giants Big Blue Bracket Challenge. Voting ends on Monday. Beckham versus LT. LT the early commanding lead, as it should be.
Yes.
And, of course, continue to keep track of free agency at Giants.com/free agency or our mock drafts. We keep track of all the mock drafts from the national draft experts at Giants.com/mock draft. No show tomorrow. Want to stress that once again.
Good Friday.
We'll be back next week with 5 high-powered shows as we continue to do our in-depth look at the NFL draft.
We got an Easter weekend. Everybody have a nice Easter weekend.
Find some eggs.
Eat some chocolate.
You like that?
It's all good.
What's your favorite candy, Figs?
Peanut butter. Peanut butter Reese's. Yeah,
like Reese's?
Oh, my God.
I'm not a peanut butter guy.
Those are
my
favorite.
I like Twix.
Yep. I'll have those. That's
only
my
candy
favorite.
With the cookie crunch.
Oh, you like the crunch?
I like the Twix cookie crunch.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
Those are good.
4 Feagles. I'm Schmelk. Have a great weekend. See you on Monday.
All right, here we go. Here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go.
Got through on the field. He's got through. 35-30.
Broken intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.